What You Need to Know is brought to you by Morongo Casino Resort and Spa. Good times, less than 90 minutes from wherever you are. Before we get to that, I want to let you know that coming up in a couple of minutes, we're going to have the top-rated theme parks here in Southern California. That's LA, OC, and South LA, as Kepi likes to call it. Based on price, based on numbers of attractions, and based on just kind of the overall combination of everything. That according to KTLA 5 today. So I want to have that for you guys in a little bit. But Lindsay's got some interesting news about USC and what you need to know.
So this news just came across the timeline within like the past hour or so from ESPN's Paolo Ughetti.
Friend of the show.
He said, sources, USC is announcing an interim leadership team in the wake of Mike Bone's departure. It includes current senior associate athletic director, Dr. Denise Kwok, who will act as interim executive administrator, as well as three individuals from outside of the university. So with the focus of transitioning USC to the Big Ten, those three individuals are former Penn State and Cal AD Sandy Barber, Mitch Moser, who most recently was a CFO at Duke, and former Big 12 commissioner Kevin Weiberg. So that's what you need to know.
What was the name of the person that you said was kind of taking the charge, though, that in the interim role?
Dr. Denise Kwok.
Denise? How do you spell the last name?
K-W-O-K.
K-W-O-K.
She was the senior associate AD.
Okay.
Yeah. Why do you need to know who that is?
Well, I mean, if she's going to be the interim athletic director at USC, I mean, I'd like to know who she is, and I've never heard her name before. Have you guys?
So you're going to connect with her on LinkedIn is what you're saying?
Probably so. Yeah. Probably so.
You'd be like,
gotta
hey,
cozy up
now,
to
you, but you right. can't you you can't use Boney as a reference right. in this situation.
No, I cannot.
You got to actually like de-link with him.
Yeah, if anything, that may hurt you in this conversation.
I know, right.
But as before, you used to have carte blanche, it felt like, for a little while at USC.
No more Evan Mobley. Sweet nights.
I know. Yeah. I know. Dr. Denise Kwok joined USC Athletics in 2004 and currently serves as Executive Senior Associate Athletic Director for Student Athlete Development. Okay, great. This is what USC needed to do. Is hurry up and put somebody into a leadership role.
Yeah.
And, you know, based on some of the allegations that are kind of floating around out there, you needed a person, I mean, someone who's a very accomplished female leader in the athletic department. Good move by USC. Very good move.
Yeah, I would agree. And when you look at the candidates, one of them, Sandy Barber, who is the former Penn State and Cal AD, is a woman as well. And, you know, I think because you're moving to the Big Ten, I think her familiarity with that makes a lot of sense. You know, Penn State athletics has been fairly good during their time. But having a former commissioner of a conference is not a bad idea either. But I do think that is not necessarily the exact same job, although I'm guessing he probably had to have had some sort of administrative job at a sports department previous to that. But I don't know that off the top of my head.
No,
but
listen, this whole thing that's happened at USC with Mike Bone, it is such an embarrassment for the university.
It is. And by the way, think about it. They've had a number of those over the last decade, basically.
Dude, I mean, Lynn Swan and I'm trying to think of other names. Trying to think of the guy's name. He used to be an NBC commentator and a USC quarterback.
Pat Hayden,
right. Yeah. And so, but here's the thing. It is the president of USC's fault. In fact, her name is Carol Folt. Mm-hmm. It is her fault. Seriously. I mean, look, if Mike Bone had any reputation prior to getting to USC, that is on the president.
Right, they should have, because some of the allegations, right, as when we had we had Bruce Feldman on to talk about it. He said that some of the reporting that he was doing was that some of this stuff goes back to his days at Cincinnati.
And so if that's the case, and the university president doesn't properly vet somebody, slash then goes up and says, hey, this is a person of great integrity. Hey, listen, I can only tell you, what, as far as I knew, Mike Bone is a man of great integrity. Yeah. And very frankly, I'm a little skeptical. Listen, I'm not saying that the allegations, and I don't even know what the allegations even really are at this point. Is he an old school kind of guy?
It's like workplace environment stuff.
Okay.
Yes.
And so here's a guy who's in his 60s who speaks differently to people from different generations, and you got to learn how to work in this environment today. So I don't know what happened. I have no idea. But I know that the embarrassment on the university is on the president of the university.
Oh, sure. I don't think there's any question that's all part of it, too. you know? Mm-hmm. All right, that is what you need to know, brought to you by Morongo Casino Resort and Spa. Good times, less than 90 minutes from wherever you are. All right, so Kyrie took to Instagram today because obviously after everyone saw him at Game 4 of the Western Conference Finals, everybody immediately, all of us did, were speculating about his future. And he's not thrilled about people speculating about his future.
I'm a free agent this summer, but I am in no rush to make a decision. And the speculation around my name from all these individuals that get on TV and have these personalities, all these people that have, you know, these platforms. And I'm talking about the TV personalities, the sports folk that try to mix sports with politics and lifestyle and shit like that. Like I am in no rush to make a decision. I know what's ahead of me for the rest of my career. When they speak on my name and they're talking about potential teams that I'm going to, can y'all please, I respectfully, like, I'm asking you, please stop paying attention to that.
He's so annoying.
You hate him so much.
He is so annoying. I can't stand the way he speaks about himself. Put the respect on my name. And these TV personalities that talk sports and politics and lifestyle, stop commenting on what I might do. And then this is the line that really kills me. I know what's ahead of me the rest of my career. George, let me ask you a question.
Mm-hmm.
What's ahead of you the rest of your career?
It looks like I'm tethered to you for a while, unfortunately. But outside of that, you know, I don't really know.
Right. And neither do I. I mean, dude, I don't know. Like, seriously, ask anybody listening today, hey, man, you got a nice career going. You're a lawyer. You've been a lawyer for 10 years. What is the future? Do you know what's ahead of you the rest of your career? And there's not one person listening right now, unless that person's retiring tomorrow, there's not one person listening that can tell you what's ahead of them for the rest of their career. But Kyrie can.
Unless he knows he's going to re-sign with Dallas and he's only going to play another 4 years.
Well, I'll just tell you this. I can't take that guy.
I stumped you there.
Nah, I mean, listen. If Kyrie knows he's signing with Dallas, okay, fine. Does he know exactly what's going to happen the rest of his career? Does he know if he's going to stay healthy? Does he know if one day he's
going
to be watching?
No, no one knows that, clearly.
Does he know if one day he's going to be watching the news and world events might upset him so much that he can't show up and play? Does he know that maybe one day he might say something really stupid yet again and find himself not playing? Does he know all this?
Well, I mean, some of that he can control. Some of it he can't.
Maybe he plans to manifest his own destiny.
Exactly.
He's one of those guys, you know?
You don't want Kyrie.
Correct.
But me in Ireland, on the short term, if you tell me it's only 2 years, I roll that dice all day.
If you told me that Kyrie Irving and Anthony Davis were going to team up and you had a Joker / Murray inside outside kind of a thing, I would say that sounds awesome with two problems. One, I don't know if I can count on Kyrie. And two, I'm not positive I can count on AD.
Yeah, and you had LeBron too.
Well, no, I'm saying like if I didn't have LeBron.
Right.
Because let me tell you something. Adding Kyrie to LeBron and AD sounds terrible to me.
I don't. I think it makes a lot of sense, but we can disagree on that. I don't like the Trae Young fit. Trae Young is a smaller player. Trae Young can't defend. I mean, Kyrie's not some great defender, but he's at least he can be when he wants to be. And he's at least average. I don't think Trae Young can even be an average defender in the NBA. So as great as he is as a shooter, he's, you know, everyone says, oh, he's like Steph. He is, but he's not built like Steph. Like, Steph's gotten bigger, like much bigger. And he is bigger than Trae Young. The guy I kind of like of all the names that have been tossed out recently, I saw this today, Fred VanVleet. Now, he's a free agent, okay? And I'm pretty sure he's a free agent. Yes.
Do you pronounce Fred with the vl?
Fred VanVleet.
VanVleet.
No, not VanVleet.
Oh my gosh.
VanVleet.
VanVleet.
Yes. No V.
And not a F.
No.
Not a VanVleet.
No, not that either.
Okay, Vleet.
I like him. Number one, he doesn't need the ball in his hands. He played with Kyle Lowry, okay? So he doesn't need the ball in his hands. And Pascal Siakam brings up the ball a ton in Toronto. I mean, he does too a little bit, but not a ton. He is tough as nails. Like, period. Like, tough, tough player. Has a championship pedigree. He knows what it takes to be a 16-game player. Can hit threes. Like, he's a decent shooter. And defends. Like, he's a thick. Even though he's not tall, he's thick as hell. So, that's the guy, if they could find a way to work. Like, if I had to pick of those three, Kyrie's got the highest ceiling. But you aren't wrong about the lack of dependability. That can't be summarily dismissed. If I had to pick between those three, I would pick Van Vliet because I think that even though he's not the offensive genius Kyrie is, he's way better defensively and he fits a role better, even though he's getting paid more than a role player would get paid because he's more than a role player. Like, he's a legit all-star caliber type player.
Yeah, Kyrie Irving, this team, if you told me it was LeBron and AD and you said you're adding Kyrie to the mix, I'd say get ready to have a very similar circumstance to Russell Westbrook. And when you say, no, Kyrie's much better, he's a much better shooter, all true, fair. But he's a locker room problem. He's a selfish player. He is completely unreliable. By the way, I also have to consider the business of my organization and the community that I'm in, and with his reputation that precedes him, I don't think Kyrie works at all. Now, could LeBron force feed it to the Lakers? I don't know. Maybe the Lakers front office is like, nah, we've already listened to you a couple of times. We like what we're doing. We don't want Kyrie.
Well, you don't want Kyrie.
Well, I mean, I don't, but I don't know if they do.
Yeah. Well, I don't think the organization does either. That's my best guess. Let's call it an educated guess.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
An educated guess, huh? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Usually when you have an educated guess, it means somebody told you who. Come on, give it to me. Who? Who?
Didn't you learn your lesson from earlier this week already?
What happened?
Last week?
What happened earlier this week?
I mean, jeez, for the love with you.
What happened?
All right, coming up next. Trading LeBron? That's what someone thought would be a good idea? For a bunch of borderline all-star and a bunch of like a young player barely plays and an overpaid young player? I mean, that sounds like spare parts to me. We'll tell you what this story's all about coming up in a second.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Is this Mana?
It is Mana.
That's what I was going to say.
You were right. It was on the tip of your tongue?
Right.
I knew Cappy wouldn't know it, but I went to the LAFC game last night. I mean,
oh,
we didn't.
Oh, man. I wanted to go.
Well, you should have.
Yeah.
But, you know, we didn't win, but it's okay. You know, the Galaxy had their stars out there. I saw Chicharito, but LAFC only had the youngins, the B team, so they can be proud of that. Anyways, this song started playing. And, of course, you hear it, you start vibing. If you know, you know. But it really took me back to a concert that I went to go see Mana. And I was, like, flat out just dancing, having the best time of my life last night. And my friend's like, you're really somewhere else. And I was like, yeah, I'm at this concert. So I was wondering what song places you guys back at a concert. Like, if you hear it, you're like, I'm there.
Yep, I got one right away.
Go ahead.
Go for it.
So two summers ago, Ohana Fest, Doheny State Beach, Pearl Jam. And when they sing the song Black live, it is a religious experience. And when I hear that song driving down the road, I can still see myself that night and all the people around me. And I can hear that one line, I'm spinning, whoa, 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 I'm spinning, and the whole place going crazy. So, yeah, I can feel you, Laura.
So, I have one. You know my favorite band is Depeche Mode. I've seen them in many different cities across the country. And the one that I think of the most now is when I hear Enjoy the Silence, because they did such a great job. Like, I mean, these guys are in their 60s, man, and they're like running around like they're still 20 years old around the stage, particularly Dave Gahan, their lead singer. Like, he's a maniac. He's sweating bullets the entire time. And watching it in the Hollywood Bowl and the entire crowd, because he lets the entire crowd sing the chorus, and everybody singing it, it like brought, I just thinking about it brings chills to me. So that's where I go immediately, because I think the Hollywood Bowl, it is my favorite venue here to watch a concert in Southern California. I know that there's a lot of great ones, trust me. The Greek, et cetera. Like, there's a million of them. I get it. But to me, that's the one. So because I think of that, I think of Gahan letting the crowd sing the chorus and him just kind of like putting the mic out in front of the crowd like a great performer would do at a concert, right? Because that's the move. If you're a lead singer, Cappy, and you're tired and you want the audience to sing the chorus like this, the move is to put the mic out into the crowd, right? And then everybody just does your job for you.
Well, that, and, you know, keep everybody engaged, show that everybody knows the words. I saw Depeche Mode one time in a driving rainstorm in a summertime. It was hot. It was humid. I was wearing a pair of cut-off jean shorts with no underpants. You know?
Wow.
Why did you just say that?
Exactly.
Well, because Laura, you were asking me to like create memories, and like,
okay,
when I think about
fair.
Depeche Mode,
that's
and it was
fair.
Pouring rain, I can see myself wearing a pair of cut off jean shorts. I was wearing like some Daisy Dukes with no underpants.
You could have left the second part out. Just saying.
But you know what? Also, really quick, George.
Yeah.
I remember I went to go see Rake, and the lead singer, got trashed. I mean, he was
on stage.
Done. Yeah, he was done to the point that people realized he forgot the words, and people just started singing. Like they just
but
helped him out.
This is where everybody sings, and he puts the mic out. That's the move. I would totally be the tired singer and be like, all right, you guys sing, man. I'm tired.
Remember when we played the Newlywed Game
and
your
my wife sang the chorus
part?
To the song?
That
right?
was adorable. That was heartwarming.
Yeah. Heartwarming is what it was, to
it
be
was.
Sure.
All right. I have the theme park thing that we're going to do a little later. We'll do that right before Dealer's Choice in the last segment. But real quick. So a couple of things here, Cappy. All right. Let's start with this conversation that this Kevin O'Connor, okay?
Oh, mm-hmm.
This Kevin O'Connor, this guy, okay, of The Ringer. And I say that lovingly because I do like him. He's a very nice human being.
I don't know him.
Really nice. You'd love him. You'd love to. He's the type of kid you want to have a beer with, okay?
Oh, really?
Yeah. And, but this trade that he has come up with, O'Connor, what the hell are you doing, O'Connor? Okay? KOC. All right?
Tell him to check himself.
I mean, what are you doing? Do better. He's putting this trade, LeBron to the Warriors. And look, I get his logic for the Warriors. It's they're in win now mode. They've already traded Wiseman. LeBron is in win now mode, clearly. So it works for them. But for the Lakers, you're going to get back Andrew Wiggins, Jordan Poole, and Jonathan Kuminga? Like I like Jonathan Kuminga as a long-term prospect still. I am still bullish on him in that regard, and maybe I'll end up having to sell that stock eventually, but I am bullish on him. I like him, and he just hasn't, you know, he picked up basketball at a very late age in life, but he's an incredible athlete.
I think I heard that he's only been playing basketball for like 17 minutes in his life.
Yeah, 17 minutes, exactly. And Andrew Wiggins is a one-time All-Star, and look, I mean, I don't know if he's really a one-time. I mean, he's a one-time All-Star, so I'm not gonna take it away from him. I would not have voted for him as an All-Star starter personally, but nonetheless, he was an important part of the Warriors championship team a couple years ago. Arguably their second best player, so he's a good player. He's become a much better player than he ever was in Minnesota. Okay, but if that's the best player you're getting, because don't give me Jordan Poole. I mean, that kid was an unmitigated disaster these playoffs.
And by the way, you say a disaster in the playoffs, and that's true. And everything that Steve Kerr talked about after the season, that they never were able to regain their trust after Draymond punched Jordan Poole. Here's the thing. Jordan Poole came off as being such a selfish player in the postseason.
That people decided to turn, that people started to think, well, maybe Draymond had a point.
Well, I mean, I think that most of us in the, you know, when we first saw the punch, we assumed that Poole was the victim of, you know, the bigger guy kind of pushing him around, bullying him in some way. But in actuality, what we might not have realized is that Jordan Poole may not be a great teammate. So I like the notion and the concept of the piece that was written in The Ringer. I don't love the suggestion as to what you're getting back, but I think more than anything, the notion was, if LeBron wants out, if LeBron looks at the Lakers and says, I won't win another championship with this organization, it's going to take too long, and I don't have the time. If he's in win-now mode, which we all know he is, and if the Warriors are, with their older guys too, the concept isn't crazy. It's just the return package doesn't look absurd. So good in theory.
That part is absurd.
Yeah.
I mean, I also don't see LeBron asking for a trade.
I don't think so either. Does the author realize that Bronny's going to USC?
Yeah. Come on, KOC.
Do better, bro.
He's not going to, you know, Cal.
Right.
Or Stanford.
Going to Stanford.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, yeah, I you know, it just
but
seems.
You know what, George? Let me tell you something, though. So, remember after the Rams won the Super Bowl and everybody was talking about Aaron Donald? Hey, let's run it back. And people were contemplating, hey, Aaron Donald may retire. And I remember coming on the air going, no, he's not.
Yeah. And LeBron's like, probably not going to retire either.
Well, let me say it like this. 1,000% LeBron is not retiring.
Wow. That's 10 times 100%.
That's right, smart guy. LeBron James is not retiring from the NBA. You don't score 40 points in Game 4 of the Western Conference Finals and think to yourself, you know, I don't think I really have it anymore. It's a young man's game. Can't really play it. I mean, it's the exact same thing as Brady last year. I mean, if Brady wanted to come back this year.
It always comes back to Brady.
Well, if Brady wanted to play again, he just passed for 4,500 yards. Of course he could still play. If LeBron James just scored 40 points in Game 4 of a Western Conference Finals with the way his body has been beaten up, not just this season, but over the last couple of years, and frankly, over the past 20 years, LeBron James ain't going anywhere.
Yeah, no, I'm with you on that. If I was a betting man, I wouldn't. I would definitely not.
I mean,
I
appreciate the drama that LeBron has created.
Oh, my God. Thank you. I mean, from a content perspective, it is a, I mean, he's doing the Lord's work.
Now, just imagine if they got Kyrie, too.
Oh!
That's what I'm rooting for.
I mean, it would be, people would be going crazy.
I mean, look at the content he's provided. It's just the thought of it happening, Cap.
Oh, listen, I love the thought of Kyrie playing for the Lakers.
Yeah.
And then I really, really love the thought of Kyrie not playing for the Lakers. And if Kyrie plays for
right,
the Lakers.
Right, but if he plays for the Lakers, ultimately you would get what you want, which is content.
Right, he's my new Brody.
Exactly.
Better than Brody, I think.
Way better than Brody.
He may be a better basketball player than Brody.
Yeah.
And
but
better
he's
content.
A, but he's an equal diva. In fact, you know what? Check that. I'm wrong on that. He's 100 times the diva.
Yeah, I was going to say.
That Russell Westbrook is.
Oh, yeah, for sure on that. I'll give you that.
Way more storylines.
So, if you're rooting for Kyrie to play for the Lakers, you're actually rooting for Kyrie to not play for the Lakers. Do you feel me? Does everybody get me on that?
I guess. Yeah.
I feel like, though, the content, if they were good and he did play, like, that'd be just as fun, right? Like, how good are they? Ah!
I'm going to tell you right now, I can't root for Kyrie Irving.
Okay.
Oh, no, we've definitely established that you can't.
Can't do it.
Mm. I'll do it for you. I'll root twice as hard.
I know you will.
All right. Real quick. Dodgers, want to give people an update. Dodgers trailing 3-1, top of the eighth in Atlanta. We've talked about going to a Dodger game. Do you want to go next Wednesday? They're playing a day game.
Wednesday, day game. You know, it's not a bad idea, as a matter of fact.
We can go for like a little while and then come to the studio.
Let's do it.
That's a really good idea because I think on Tuesday, because we have the day off because of it's Memorial Day, right?
Right.
I always screw up Memorial and Labor Day.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm going to be over at the crib at the East Central.
Right.
On Tuesday night.
Where they're going to regret this very quickly.
And then we could get up and we could go over to the Dodger game. I like that idea. Who are they playing next week? On Wednesday.
On Wednesday, they play the Nationals in a 3-game set Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
Okay. Who's got the tickets?
We'll figure that out, Cap.
Don't say to me we got to buy tickets. Don't even say that to me.
Of course.
You can Hey King somebody then, Cap.
Then, yeah, you get us the free tickets. That's a good point, Lindsay.
Yeah,
good.
No,
I'm glad
true.
You snapped at him that way.
No, it's either I get us free tickets or what George happened? Buys them.
Right, clearly. That
so
becomes the
knee
by them.
Yeah,
right.
Why don't you get them?
All right,
yeah.
You know what? I'll go to work on that.
Go.
I'll
go Hey King someone for Wednesday.
Yeah, I will.
We're not even staying for the whole game.
Hey King.
Okay. Hey, King. And then, yeah. And then
3 o'clock, we leave. And it will take us, you know, the 45 minutes to get back here.
And I'm going to sit
like 5 miles away.
I'm going to sit right in the front row. I'm
going to
sit right in the front row, right behind home plate.
Okay.
Those seats are always available. No one's ever sitting there, especially during day games.
There you go. Go do what you got to do.
Oh, you know, I actually might be able to get tickets, Cap.
Of course you can. Hey, Queen.
I might.
We should all drive in the same car, so that way, if we do get stuck in traffic and we're late, we'll just call in and do the show.
Do the show from the car.
Good
idea.
Uber.
Yeah. It's a very good idea.
It'd be funny.
Yeah.
Solid concept.
The mobile ISDN. Mm-hmm. All right, coming up next, big deal or no deal?
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
No, Sedano, I'm taking it. And then I'm giving it off to Lindsay Baseball because it's time for Big Deal or No Deal right now on Sedano and Cap. Take it away, Lindsay.
Thanks, Cappy. You know, you kind of sounded like Brock Purdy doing your thing when you did
Take
that.
Take it away, Lindsay.
Yeah, exactly. All right, so exactly, just like that. Many startups are now entering the AI podcasting market, providing creators with tools to generate AI voices quickly and easily. While some artists support this new technology, voice actors whose livelihoods are now threatened by AI are on the opposite side of the fence. Skeptics argue that AI voices lack the connection and intimacy that human-hosted podcasts provide to listeners. AI-generated podcasts are part of a broader trend of the automation in the entertainment industry, which has raised concerns about the devaluation of creativity and the desire to cut costs. Is this a big deal or no deal, Cappy?
I'm kind of starting to think that all AI-related things are big deals.
They are. The robots are here, man.
Yeah, and I feel like a lot of people are, and it's kind of like depending on who you talk to, depends on the reaction that you might receive from somebody. Like some people think ChatGPT is now like a cool keyword like cryptocurrency was or gambling, you know, legalized gambling was. Like it's a hot thing, ChatGPT. Oh yeah, we got that. But then there's a other group of people that are like offended, like I'm going to lose my job eventually because of this stuff, so don't bring it up to me. So
It's a great invention, but also could be a very challenging one to deal with because I do think it's going to take a lot of jobs. I don't think that there's any doubt about that. By the way, the Dodgers did they just tie it up in Atlanta. Miguel Vargas with a big hit, a double, and there's runners in scoring position. Two runners in scoring position, two outs, it looks like, in Atlanta. So the Dodgers could take the lead here in the bottom of the eighth.
Atlanta.
Yeah. Big deal. I do think it's a big deal because for the aforementioned reasons. I just think that people's jobs are going to be at stake, although the technology will be incredible, and hopefully we can find ways to make up for some of those jobs in different ways, but it's not ideal. All right, what's next?
All right, so Dana White has chimed in on the John Jones Tyson Fury beef. Last week, Fury blasted Joe Rogan after Rogan said on his podcast that Jones would beat Fury in a street fight. Fury said, quote, I'm the baddest man on the planet. I heard him say that John Jones could bleep me up. Not a man born from their mother could bleep me up in a room on our own. Whatever happens in that room, I'll be walking out of there, not a bleeping problem. Well, John Jones then saw Fury's comments and challenged him to a cage fight.
Right.
So now Dana White said, if he wants to fight John Jones in the UFC, I'll make it happen. Tyson, if you're serious, let me know. Tyson and I have a good relationship. Tyson can talk. John can talk. I can talk. Let's do it. So is this John Jones, Tyson Fury beef thingy a big deal or no deal?
I mean, it's a big deal because Dana White's no dummy. He sees all the money that it can make. I mean, that's exactly what he sees.
I'm on the opposite side of this one. I'm going no deal, and here's why. Because if Tyson Fury gets into a cage with John Jones, he's dead meat. You put him in a boxing ring against John Jones, he'll probably beat him up. But I don't give Tyson Fury much chance of survival in an octagon. Boxing match, he's tall, he's long.
He's a big dude.
He's heavy. Big.
Large.
Right.
Thick.
But in a mixed martial arts octagon, I mean, John Jones be like a lion and Tyson Fury be like a giant hippo. You know, just jump on his back and take him down.
Hippos are actually like extremely dangerous and
all right, well,
scary.
Give me another animal that's really big and not as...
They can swim faster underwater than like any other animal.
Give me another animal. Give me another, a better example then.
I don't know. Maybe a rhino?
Oh, a rhino. Okay.
But, I mean, would you pay for that fight? Like, would you pay to see that? John Jones versus Tyson Fury in the UFC?
Hell yeah.
I would.
Yeah.
I think it'd be a great fight. All right, next one here. So, this one's especially for you, Cappy.
All right.
After Peyton Manning's sports... Oh, hold on. Let me start over. It was announced on Monday night that ESPN won a company record 13 sports Emmy Awards, including Peyton Manning winning a sports Emmy for Outstanding Personality / Event Analyst. And after his sports Emmy was announced, Eli was quick to kind of roast him on Twitter, saying, I did not know you can win an Emmy for just telling fans when coaches should call a timeout. Kind of funny. So I want to congratulate all of our ESPN teammates on their Emmys and point out one significant winner to you, especially, Cap.
Mm-hmm.
Guess who won an Emmy for Outstanding Personality / Reporter?
How about George Sedano?
It was not George Sedano. We would have heard all about that. Like, we'd be talking all about that. We'd be celebrating, dancing in the streets.
Okay.
Any other guesses?
An ESPN personality who won for personality and reporter?
Mm-hmm. I'll tell you.
Oh, okay, go ahead.
Lisa Salters.
Hey.
You recently moved her from your number one sideline reporter down to the 3 spot.
Yeah, I forgot to mention that to her when I saw her the last couple of days.
Yeah, okay. Congrats, Lisa. Does this do anything to boost her ranking, Kat?
It does. I mean, I think that Lisa Salters, who's my favorite sideline personality, moved down because of an incident in a broadcast. But I'm flexible and I'm open-minded. And so while Lisa moved down because I'm trying to remember who did she say it to? Austin Reeves. Austin, you just hit that half-court shot, but I didn't see it. What happened? And I was like, Lisa, you don't need to tell him that. You don't need to tell us that. You can fake it. But she told us, and she moved down my rankings. So it was Lisa Salters 1, Pam Oliver 2, George Sedano 3, Mike Trudell 4. Pam Oliver, out of season, didn't move up. George moved up to 1, Trudell 2. Oliver stayed in the 3 now, or moved down to 3, and Salters went down to 4. But if I have to reorganize today based on Emmy Award winners, Lisa moves back to the top, followed by Sedano.
Oh.
In fact, check that.
She knocked you out?
Followed by Trudell, who I'm starting to have a real love affair with.
What?
Then Sedano and Pam Oliver because she's out of season.
Right.
Congratulations, Lisa.
Wow.
Emmy Award winner and number one sideline personality, according to me.
Well, you know who also won personality play-by-play?
George Sedano?
No.
Joe Buck.
Mike Breen! Bam.
By the way, happy birthday, Mike Breen. Game 4 was his birthday.
Oh, he had to work on his birthday? Bummer.
No, but he said the only thing he wanted was a one-possession game, and he got
he
it.
He got it, yeah.
He did. He said that to me in the pregame. He's like, all I want is a one-possession game.
Well, that's kind of cool.
He did. He got it. That was cool.
All right, next one here. The iconic Oscar Mayer Wienermobile. Has officially been rebranded. After nearly 100 years, the hot dog-shaped vehicle will be ditching the name it's been using since it first hit the road in 1936. It's now going to be called the Frankmobile. The name is meant to pay homage to the brand's 100% beef franks as it debuts a tasty new recipe. So I didn't know this part, but apparently thousands of people apply every year to drive the Wienermobiles.
Oh, yeah. People love that thing.
But they only pick 12 drivers. Just 12. Mm-hmm. So that means the job is harder to get than an acceptance letter to Harvard University.
Wow.
Right. So not exactly a big deal, but I have like a vivid memory of seeing the Oscar Mayer Wienermobile as a kid. Wanted to ask if any of you guys do.
I have seen it. Yes.
No interaction with it? Like you never went up and got the hot dog whistle?
No. Just saw it from a distance.
No, I definitely have touched the Wienermobile. Like, I mean, I've been like right up on it. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
checked
yeah.
it out.
Yeah, we get it. We get
you know?
It. Yeah.
I mean, look at the size of this thing, man. This thing's huge.
It sounded like Beavis from Beavis and Butthead when you said that.
Well, it was. I mean, it was. It was huge, man. This giant wienermobile. And by the way,
Pepe is done with you, I feel like, at this point. He loves you, but he's done with you.
I'm just going to tell you guys right now, the Frankmobile is a terrible concept. The wienermobile is funny.
I agree.
I agree.
Do you guys ever get, like, did you ever get the whistle cappy?
I don't really know of this whistle.
Okay,
no.
So I remember being, I don't know, it was probably like 10 or something. And at the Richfield Coliseum, where they used to have the Cavaliers games, they had like the old timers game. It was like Austin Carr and Bobby Bingo Smith and Nate Thurmond. And my dad took me and the Wienermobile was there. So he was like, oh, this is so cool. And I was like, what the hell is the Wienermobile? So you go up to it and they just were like giving out free hot dogs. And then they had these little whistles that are like, they look just like the Wienermobile. And
so you take the wiener whistle and you blow it.
Yep, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
I guess it was like a thing in the commercials. I don't know. But I still have it because I thought it was really cool. It's the only time I've ever seen it, though.
There you have it. We got anything else?
That's it for Big Deal or No Deal.
That's it for Big Deal or No Deal.
Wienermobile.
Yeah. 3-3 still. I'm sorry, bottom of the eighth now, because that's right. They're in Atlanta, so they're the home team. So 3-3 now. So the Dodgers scored a couple in the top of the eighth, and they are trying to hold serve here. Things are looking good right now. So we'll keep you up to date on them. Now, coming up next, Cappy, of course, as we do every night, we're going to have Dealer's Choice.
Of course we are.
At some point that we got to get to. But there's some football stuff that I want to get to. Plus, there's the theme park rankings here in Southern California. L.A., OC and South LA, as you like to call it.
Right.
KTLA has done the homework for you on price, amount of rides at the park, overall, etc. And we'll give you those lists coming up all in just a moment. Stick around. We're back in 2 minutes here on 710 ESPN. On in East LA. What a great, great movie. Great song. Did you ever watch that movie, Born in East LA?
I haven't seen it in a really long time.
I mean, I was a kid when I saw that movie the first time. And then I saw it again as an adult, and it was still really funny. As a kid, you don't get all the jokes, obviously. But as an adult, it was really funny.
I thought Cheech and Chong were just these two guys that were always going to be Cheech and Chong. Didn't know that, you know, they were going to go off their separate ways. And I guess in Cheech Marin's situation, became, you know, he was in a lot of stuff.
Yeah,
TV
he was.
Shows, movies.
Yeah.
A lot of stuff.
A lot of stuff, for sure. All right. Shout out to Cheech Marin, who's a very regular. He's fairly irregular, I would say, at Laker games. So,
and shout out to Tommy Chong, who loves weed.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they both love weed. So do you.
I feel like Tommy Chong likes it more than all of us.
Right. Probably more than all of us. That's fair. All right. Let's talk some NFL here, Cappy. We got Raiders, we got Chargers, and we got a wide receiver that could be on the market. But actually, two wide receivers, potentially. So, there's chatter. Now, we've seen this stuff with Devontae Adams, right? Remember there was the initial thing where he told the Ringer that, like, he wasn't feeling his situation with the Raiders. But then, like, that story came out, and he posted an Instagram picture with the GM. Interestingly enough, not with the coach. So, then everyone started to think to themselves, well, maybe he's got a Josh McDaniels problem. There's more chatter about him potentially being traded after June 1st, because that would make things a little easier for them, I believe, from a cap perspective. So not only is that the reason he's in the news today, social media has had their words with Devontae Adams, particularly Rams fans, because he gave his list of his top seven wide receivers and did not have Cooper Kupp on them. His top seven were, he actually had himself number one. Okay, no problem.
That's a Cappy move.
No,
I have no problem with
there.
That. I'm okay with him doing that.
That's funny.
I'm totally fine with him doing that. Justin Jefferson, 2A is what he said. So this was technically a top five, but it's a seven because he did A's, like a couple of ties, which is kind of weird. But he did Justin Jefferson, 2A, Tyreek Hill, 2B, Stephon Diggs, number three, Calvin Ridley, who hasn't played in over a year, number four, Mike Evans tied for fifth, along with CeeDee Lamb. CeeDee Lamb, I don't think he belongs on that list personally, but Cooper Kupp definitely belongs on that list if CeeDee Lamb is on that list. But Rams fans upset, and it does seem more and more likely now that the stuff about him being traded at least is intensifying.
Well, I mean, I don't think the guy wants to be there. I mean, Devontae Adams went to the Raiders to play with Derek Carr, and about 10, 11 games into the season, the Raiders made a decision based on their coach. Derek Carr is not our quarterback anymore. And Devontae Adams was like, but I came to play with him. He's my best friend. We were going to create something here. You guys are cutting this off after like 11, 12 games? And they did. And so he doesn't want to be there. He went to Vegas not to play for the Raiders, not to live in Las Vegas. He went there to play with Derek Carr, or so I perceive.
Yeah, so. I think so. It was his college buddy, his buddy, right, all that stuff. Yeah, so.
Not having Cooper Kupp in this discussion of his top seven.
It does seem weird.
It does, but George, there just is, unfortunately, no matter what Cooper Kupp does, no matter how many stats he produces, Super Bowl wins, insane performances in the Super Bowl, everything he's accomplished, people find ways to take it away from him. You know, they're like, system wide receiver. It's just Sean McVay, you know, just taking advantage of him. He's the only guy they got. He's their option, number one guy. I think Cooper Kupp is a great, great player who's totally disrespected around the league.
I would agree with that. I do think he's disrespected. And, you know, hopefully he comes back healthy and can prove people wrong because mm-hmm. he's really damn impressive. I don't think there's any doubt. He's not the athletic phenom that some of these guys are, like Devontae or Justin or Tyreek Hill or Stephon Diggs. But he just gets the damn job done. So I'll give him that. All right. Next, we've got your boys. As the president of the Charger Hater Club, mm-hmm. we were talking a lot about Austin Eckler leaving. Well, apparently he's rescinded his trade request after he got a $2 million incentive boost.
I don't understand what's going on with Austin Eckler. You go out publicly, you rip the organization, you talk about how cheap they are, and then you come back for $2 million in incentives? I mean, listen, I don't care if the incentive is, hey, you have to start five games. And he thinks, well, shoot, I can start five games, no problem. And you're like, hey, well, that's $500,000. Like, you came back to possibly earn $2 million?
I'll tell you what's going on, Cap.
I thought the fight was for a lot more money than that. Yeah, tell me, Lindsay.
No one else wanted to give him more money.
Well, there's that too, probably.
But he's under contract.
Right, there's that too. But what I'm saying, but also, there was probably no one willing to trade for him
right.
and then offer him an extension that he would want to. You know what I mean?
You know why? Because when you're a 28-year-old running back,
that's it.
Most teams are like, yeah, well, maybe he'll get another season or two, but after he gets to 30, he's toast.
Right. So here are the incentives. Do you want to hear them?
Oh, I would love to.
He can earn $1 million if he tallies between 1,125 and 1,629 total yards. That's combined. Now, he catches a lot of balls, right? Like, he caught more balls than anybody last year.
What, can you just say those numbers again one more
1125
time?
1125 to 1629 in total yardage.
Oy vey. 1629? Where'd they come up with that?
I don't know, man. That's probably based on what other guys have done or he's done even, potentially.
Mm-hmm.
Why are you oy veying the number, though?
1629? I mean, they didn't go 1630. They didn't go 1600. 1629. Right?
Well, last year...
How about if he gets to 1628 and they pull him out of the last game of the season?
So last year, okay, Austin Eckler... I'm going to do this on my calculator really quick. 915 plus...
Oh, we don't get the Sedano math?
722. I'm tired already. 1637 he had last year.
Oh, I just got to get to 1629 this year. That's all.
Hmm.
All right. So that's,
one.
Yeah.
Then he also gets 600 grand if he scores between 10 and 16 touchdowns.
Okay.
Which, let me see how many touchdowns he had.
He had a lot last year. I think he had, 28-ish.
Yeah, he had, no, he didn't. He had 13 on the ground,
mm-hmm.
and he had 5 receiving.
Okay, 18.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And the year before, he had 20 total.
Okay, all right.
Okay. But he scores a lot of touchdowns. You are right
mm-hmm.
about that.
Mm-hmm.
Then he gets 150 grand if he makes the Pro Bowl, which, let's face it, everybody makes the Pro Bowl now. So he'll get that. But those are the incentives right there.
Those suck.
Yeah,
because you know what? You have to actually play to get those incentives.
Right.
You know, that's why they're incentives, because you're incentivized to go get them.
Yeah. So that's Austin Eckler, your boy.
$2 million. Austin, my man, really? You were arguing, hey, I'm making $6 million a year. You went out and publicly ripped the team, called the ownership cheap, and you came back for $2 million in potentially achievable incentives, assuming you're healthy? $2 million bucks? I mean, don't get me wrong. I'd take the $2 million, but...
You do it for less.
Oh, you know it.
And lastly, DeAndre Hopkins heard the Bills and Patriots could be interested in trading for him. Now, the Patriots makes all the sense in the world. They desperately need a receiver. The Bills, I feel like, have plenty of receivers. I mean, but I mean, if you could get DeAndre Hopkins, you get him, obviously.
Yeah, but if I'm the Bills, I mean, I got to really think to myself, we thought we were a Super Bowl team last year. How far away are we, and what positions of need do we have, and is wide receiver really that? And do we need another star wide receiver? Do we need another personality in the office, you know, in the receiver room?
Yeah.
I don't know about that one.
All right, let's switch to these amusement parks, the stories and the rankings here in Southern California, in L.A., O.C., and South L.A., as Cappy likes to call it. Mm-hmm. Top theme parks. This is on KTLA's website today. Top theme parks ranked by price. All right, number one, as in the best value, Knott's Berry Farm.
When was the last time you were at Knott's Berry Farm?
I have never been. My kids have.
Dude, Nunca? Knott's Berry Farm.
Never. I've never been there either.
Knott's Berry Farm is an excellent, excellent amusement park.
Yeah, my kids
got
love it.
Great roller coasters.
Yeah.
And there's enough rides to, like, there are enough really good, scary, you know, up and down kind of roller coasters. You know, I say up and down. I'm trying to make like a circular motion. People on YouTube can see it.
Yeah.
Yeah, Knott's Berry Farm's good. I like it.
Yeah, it's number one according to their by price. Number two, Six Flags Discovery Kingdom. I mean, Six Flags, obviously a lot of roller coasters.
Six Flags
and stuff,
Discovery Kingdom.
But what's that?
Yeah, because like, Magic Mountain is the one I think of. What's Discovery Kingdom?
Wait, I'll get to Six Flags. Magic Mountain is also on the list. But
what's the thing?
Six Flags Discovery. I'm not familiar with it.
Well, me and Funch just looked it up because we didn't know what it was. It's like up north. And they were like, yeah, that might be the best thing because they don't have nothing else.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's in Vallejo.
Like where?
Yeah.
Vallejo.
Yeah. Oh. Exactly. Then it's Belmont Park, also down there in South LA, number three.
Belmont Park is a tiny little beach side.
Like roller coaster place.
Like old school wooden roller coaster kind of a place.
Like
I wouldn't
Castle
put it
Park.
That high.
Yeah.
I wouldn't put it that high.
California Great America.
Where's that?
I don't know where that is.
I love Great America in New Jersey, but I've never been to a Great America in California.
Yeah.
I've never been to any of these places.
I've heard of California.
America. Santa Clara.
This is the state of California.
Oh.
Okay.
Oh, gotcha.
So now NorCal is involved too. Mm-hmm. Pacific Park, which is up there, right? Six Flags Magic Mountain is number six. SeaWorld.
Okay. I got to admit, I've never been to Magic Mountain.
Oh, hell.
I always want to go during the summer, but everybody says it's like so darn hot.
It's hot.
Super hot. And, mm-hmm. Yeah, it's packed. And seven is SeaWorld down there in South LA. Yeah. Disneyland at number eight. According to value.
That's way too maybe because it's expensive.
This is on price.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Disneyland California Adventure. And number nine, Hollywood Studios. Universal Studios in Hollywood.
Oh, Universal Studios is great.
Yeah.
It's
but
okay.
Expensive. Then, based on the number of attractions, I'll go quickly here. Six Flags Magic Mountain, Six Flags Discovery Kingdom, California Great Adventure, Knott's Berry Farm, Disneyland Park, Disney's California Adventure, SeaWorld San Diego, Universal Studios Hollywood, Pacific Park, Belmont Park. And then overall, as we have less than a minute here, so we may not have a dealer's choice today.
This is dealer's choice.
Okay, there you go. Six Flags Discovery Kingdom, Knott's Berry Farm, California Great America, Six Flags Magic Mountain, Belmont Park, Disneyland, Pacific Park, Disney California Adventure Park, SeaWorld San Diego, Universal Studios Hollywood. So those are the overall categories. But everyone likes to plan these things for the summer. There's a bunch of parks that you can go across the state.
Tell you guys, based on everything I just heard, that entire report, I feel really good about Knott's Berry. It's conveniently located.
It's got a lot of stuff. Right.
And there's a ton of roller coasters. I like Knott's Berry.
Yeah, maybe I'll go with the kids because they've
should.
Been. Yeah.
It's really nice. My niece works there right now, so she loves it.
Great. So there you go. A little service for the families out there listening.
There you go.
And, head out to the theme parks. You can hit them all, actually, all 10 of them that we just mentioned. All right, we're done here. Cappy, great work.
Yeah, nice day today, everybody.
Yeah. Excellent work, ladies, Lindsay and Laura. Coming up next, Slee on the spot. Lakers talk. Oh, boy. You thought we talked a lot of Lakers today. Wait till you hear what my man Slee has to say about the Lakers offseason. Next.